This is fun! The FU Network.
Hey, ladies, this is the Hey Ladies podcast, real talk with real women. And the topic tonight is the B word, bitch. How does the word affect women today, for good or for ill? I have no idea how this is going to go, which is why I want to talk about it. We have two very strong, interesting women with me tonight. Producer and playwright Rose Jardine is a life coach and a youth advocate who uses the arts as a catalyst to bring to light a variety of social issues for the purpose of dialogue, community engagement, and social change. And Lex Gore is a Jewish Nazi or degenerate leftist, depending on which side of the horseshoe she's triggered by encouraging critical thinking. She spent her adult life with the Market Punks, which protect Kensington Market from neo-Nazis. So Rose, Lex, I'm sure both of you, as well as me, have encountered the B word, have been called a bitch, or the implication is that we are bitches at some point in our lives. So Rose, starting with you, what has been your experience with this word?
The thing with the word bitch is that it's so overused in the urban culture that there's almost a desensitization to it.
Right.
Right. Now, also, you know, that depends on identification and class and where you are with yourself. But, you know, it's like, I guess even if somebody was to turn to me today, right, maybe years ago, it might have affected me. If somebody was to turn to me today and say, you bitch, I'd be like, yeah, it's about right.
Now, Lex,
glad you know it. Yeah, we're clear.
Now, Lex, you have totally embraced the B word.
I love the word bitch. I love the word cunt. I love the word pussy. I love the vulgarity of it. I've been a bitch as long as I can remember. Bitch just means at first I'm a beautiful woman and I'm the most beautiful woman in the world. And then if I'm not interested, I am a slut somehow, and then I'm a bitch. And when women call me a bitch, it's because they know that they have low integrity. So they pull the bitch card. So I completely embrace bitch. I am a bitch. I love being a bitch. I am a boss bitch. Queen bitch.
You're getting on something that I kind of identified with the word, that it's just lazy. It's just this reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of people having to think about a problem they have with a particular woman, they just toss out the word bitch, right? I encountered this most distinctly with the Captain Marvel movie and Brie Larson as playing Captain Marvel. People would just toss out, she's a bitch. And it's like, well, why? Why do you think she's a bitch? The answer is just because she's a bitch. It's so lazy. Nobody thinks. And we all do it from time to time. I'm not going to claim I'm above this. We just toss out the word because we get triggered and we don't actually think about what our issue is. And when I started talking to people like, okay, describe your issue with Brie Larson without using the word bitch, it was, she's arrogant, right? That's what came out. It's like, well, show me a movie star at that level that doesn't have that element of arrogance. We don't attack men for assertion or, Lex, as you said, the moral high ground, or, you know, there's obviously, you know, this gets very fraught when we get into, Rose, as you pointed out, the racial divisions along this word. Obviously different communities use them differently. But let's stick on the idea of, when you call a man a bitch and you call a woman a bitch, it means something completely different. The word the word is
absolutely.
The word is so amorphous that it takes on various meanings. It's very hard to pin down. So I want to talk about that idea of bitch is what you call a woman who quote unquote acts like a man, and a man who acts feminized, you know, submissive or feminine. That's how guys get called a bitch. So Lex, I'm going to start with you this time and ask you what you think about this. Cause you're very, you self-describe as a feminist who is also very big on men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you,
I wouldn't call myself a feminist, actually. Okay. I was raised feminist. I really embrace egalitarianism. I just want everyone to be okay. I think all the genders have separate problems and they're all valid, and we should just try to help everybody. So I kind of handed in my feminist card and I identify as an egalitarian.
So what is it? Obviously, we're going to get into what it does to women to be labeled a bitch. What do you think it does to men when they're labeled with that word?
I think it's interesting that bitch is used to describe like an assertive, tough, mean woman who's not putting up with any shit. So it's kind of a compliment, if you ask me. But for men, it's diminishing. And it's saying, oh, he's a little bitch. You know, he's pussy boy. And it does take on a completely different meaning. And I find it perplexing. Like, I don't really know what to say about it. It's just, it's perplexing.
Yeah, Rose.
The meaning completely changes.
Yeah, Rose, like, you have a son. So I'm sure this has hit you at some point. What's your, because I have very strong feelings about this use of bitch towards men. But I want to go to you before I weigh in.
Well, I mean, within the whole urban world, I mean, those are fighting words.
Yeah.
If you call a man a bitch, right?
Yeah.
Because to say, you know, I'll make you my bitch is really much saying, like, I'm going to, you know, pretty much rape you in some places.
Right.
Right? If we start talking about penitentiary culture, right? So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Like, that's go ahead. Sorry.
And that's the terminology that people use. So when you think about calling a man a bitch, that's where it really came from. It came from jail culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Prison bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this
there
is
you
where,
go.
Yeah. This is where I start to get into thinking about the control dynamics of the word. I mean, let's face it. There's an element of you throw that out at someone and there's almost a sort of subliminal intent to get someone to go, no, I'm not. And it's that sort of control via opposition, that you control someone's behavior by you label them that way. And then the onus is on them to prove they're not.
Well, I guess, but Lee, I challenge you with that.
Go ahead.
Because that really depends on how you embrace the word. Because if you know, I it doesn't matter if I'm in the office or if I'm like walking down the street. If somebody looked at me and said, you bitch, I'd just smile like, yeah. That's okay.
How does a guy do that the same way though?
Because how I identified the word, just like how Lex spoke, you know, bad bitch, you know, boss bitch. You know, those are the things that come at me now when I hear the word bitch.
Sorry, I said how do men reclaim the word the same way?
I know, and I may be wrong, but I think that would be very different for a heterosexual male versus somebody who's not.
Alex, how do you
whenever my husband gets called a bitch, it's always by an internet tough guy who could like never ever take him.
Right.
And my husband just says, you're not my type, honey.
So he finds a way to stick handle it, like hadoken it back at the person.
And then he makes it really uncomfortable. He's like, you know, yeah, you're not my type, honey. Please fuck off.
Yeah, so,
he diminishes them back.
So he just doesn't even allow it to mean anything to him.
No.
He doesn't accept it, right? So he just puts that up right there.
Yeah.
So it seems like the way to counteract the sting of the word bitch is to lean into it. Now, sometimes you can't do that. I mean, my personal experience is when I was still working in television, I got branded a bitch. Why? Because I was a woman in middle management who was given marching orders from above. I didn't always agree with them, but I did have to enforce them. And what the word bitch did in television at the time was that you get labeled a bitch. People don't have to listen to you. They don't have to do what you say. You have real issues enforcing authority because you're not an authority. You're a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different issue when you get into authority because, you know, if a man's called a bitch, he, you know, acts all quote unquote tough or he leans into it, which, you know, in television, especially in music television, you can't go after a guy for being gay. It just isn't done. You can go after a woman for acting masculine. That is still an incredible taboo in the media.
Why is being assertive a masculine trait? I think every human should know how to be confident and assert themselves.
Agreed, but we know that's not the world right now. We know that.
Well, guys, I'm going to make it the world.
Yeah. We know that guys can get away with certain behaviors that way and get passes on, say, showing anger or just telling somebody to do something. I don't have time to explain it to you. Just do it. We know guys have more license to do that.
Well, than- maybe that's why I'm a bitch.
But you know, also depending on who it's coming from, right?
Right.
If a man looks at a woman and says, you bitch, that's a very different experience than if a woman looks at a woman and says, you bitch.
That's a really good point. And I think women get off the hook throwing that word around with each other more. There's sometimes like some people just call their friends my bitches. Right. And that's obviously nothing meant by that. That's a term of endearment. But women, you see it all the times on shows aimed at teenage girls. And this drives me crazy. I mean, from the days of Beverly Hills 90210 up until stuff like Riverdale and Supergirl, it's this weapon that the media depicts women using against each other. Oh, she's a bitch. What do you think this is saying to young women? Lex, we'll start with you and then go to Rose.
I don't know. With my friends, and I've got a few close female friends, bitch can be one of the most emotive words in the English language. Like, you can use it to, you know, in so many ways and so many intonations. You can be like, you know, bitch, or like, you know, bitch, like, you know, happy, or my bitches, or like, you know, you can use it in fear, you can use it in seriousness, you can use it in sadness. It all depends on your intonation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I enjoy calling, I guess, maybe because it's a taboo, but I frequently like, you know, hey, let's have lunch, bitch, you know?
Right.
Maybe it's just, you know, I'm totally comfortable with the word. I've embraced it. I am a bitch, and I am a bitch because of these things. And if that, you know, means that I'm an assertive, tough woman who doesn't take any shit, like, I wear that as a badge of honor, and so do my girlfriends.
Rose, go ahead.
Like, I like the whole, were talking about Nicki Minaj before and Madonna.
Yeah, before Rose came, yeah.
These are women that really embraced the whole bitch thing, and, you know, if anything, I think young women should actually, you know, watch some old Madonna, because she had some pretty strong view. She was the one who said, if being ambitious and tough and successful makes me a bitch, then, you know, by God, I'm a bitch. And Nicki Minaj is recording these, you know, terrible songs. You know, she's allowed to use the N-word every second word because she's black, but it's hard for me to listen to. But I'm a boss-ass bitch, and you N's ain't shit. You know, like, it's really dominant song. So, I mean, that to me, that totally depowers the word. Like, the more you embrace the word, it's the same as we were talking about when I did stand-up comedy. I got over years of rape trauma by telling rape jokes, and I was told by women that I was, you know, triggering them, and I had to silence myself. That's one of the problems I have with modern feminism, and I think that the whole trigger word culture is actually giving these words so much power that they can do harm. The way that you destigmatize them is just to embrace them, make them funny, make them yours. And that goes for all the words.
Okay, there was a lot there. So Rose, I want to redirect to hip hop and all that stuff, because that's your wheelhouse. So I'm sure you've got some ideas on that.
The whole word, I mean, when you think about Lil' Kim.
Yeah.
Queen Bee.
Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah.
Back to Queen Latifah really came out swinging that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is amazing.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Rose.
The whole Queen Bee is Queen Bitch. That's what the B stands for.
Which is interesting, because that's been, I mean, Queen Latifah now has a crazy Q score. She's doing like mental health ads on cable news channels because she's seen as so likable. She wasn't always like that. And you see this sort of metamorphosis for Rosie O'Donnell's another one that went from sort of embracing bitch to be the queen of nice. Queen Bee went to Queen Bey. And I mean, Beyonce's criticism is that, you know, she's not real enough or she's not black enough. So we keep kind of, you know, circling around this trap that is this word. Artists use it for great effect because it is a trap. But does that not call attention to the fact that the word still has a charge, since artists can use it for a shorthand for a particular mindset. Rose, I'll go to you first.
I think that the word can be used, it could be manipulated depending on who's saying it, how it's said, right? I think that the English language has become extremely complex. Mm-hmm. And all the words that people are claiming back to empower themselves. So it's like, you know, you can use it in this content and it means something good, but if you use it in that content, then you're becoming offensive. So it's like each situation becomes an individual experience.
Lex, so, do you want to jump in here?
I just choose not to get offended. You know what offends me? Poverty, billionaires, the working poor, animal cruelty, child abuse, that, like, the fact that people are tortured and starving every day, that offends me. Words don't offend me. Being called a bitch doesn't offend me. All of, you know, the shit about, like, identity politics and microaggressions and outrage culture, that kind of offends me, because there's so much suffering in the world and there's people that need our help right now, like women in the Middle East being treated like livestock. Mm-hmm. And we're here bitching about the most asinine stuff, and that's what offends me. So taking back all these words, bitch, slut, cunt, pussy, in the school of Lenny Bruce, I find so much joy in these words, because those are my words now.
I want to flip that script a little bit and touch on poverty, because Rose, I mean, you've worked with youth. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's much easier for people with access to media, for people with a platform, for people with money to brush off words like this. Have you seen, because I know where I grew up in a fairly poor neighborhood, a very multicultural neighborhood. And I always got the sense that people pretended that the words didn't bother them, but their actions told a very different story. What's been your experience?
So my experience has been, if my girlfriend came up to me and said, bitch, let's go eat, would be acceptable.
Right.
Right. If somebody came up to me and said, you know, you're such a bitch, and it's a standoff, depending on who that person is, would depend on how I would, you know, I would brush it up, because it wouldn't mean anything. But if somebody comes at you, even a friend, and depending on the tone, and said, you know, you're a real bitch.
Right.
It all means something different.
Right.
And that's no different with any culture, and within the youth culture, right?
Right.
They take it the exact same way. It's who says it. If you know, it's funny, if you have permission to say it.
Right. Right.
It goes back to, do you have the permission to use that word to me or at me or in my presence?
That's true of so many words though, right, too.
But exactly. Then right. That's why I'm saying this is something that's, it's not just about that word. It's the English language, period.
Right. Now, do you think, both of you, we'll go to Rose then, Lex, do you think youth feel pressure to not be bothered or pretend to not be bothered by this stuff? Because there are crises in middle class and upper middle class youth right now, anxiety, suicidal ideation, all that stuff. And it seems to revolve around public image.
That has nothing to do with classism. That's just period. Okay. They're all suffering with anxiety. They're all suffering with trauma. They're all suffering with something.
But I mean, right? Somebody who grows up poor, you understand the trauma there. Where's the trauma coming from a middle class or upper middle class kid?
Well, who
I can answer that one.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I grew up poor initially. My family were refugees from the Hungarian Revolution, mm-hmm. and they came here with no English. And then my father became a very successful producer. You know, his shows won Emmys, and we ended up subsequently with a lot of money. And, you know, I had a glorious childhood, like just traveling the world and movie stars and Hollywood. And now I'm disabled and poor. And it was quite a shock for me. But why did I focus on the dark when I hit puberty? I went to the streets. I was a really traumatized kid. A non-family member molested me. And I came from such a loved family. And when I went out into the world, realizing that people were cruel was a huge shock to me, because I came from such love. And I went to the Holocaust Museum in Israel, and something snapped in me, and I bought my first Dead Kennedys album, and then I got diagnosed with bipolar. So, you know, mental illness could be a factor, trauma could be a factor, like growing up privileged does not make you immune from things like mental disorders, depression, trauma, abuse. And now that I'm poor, I understand like the stress is much, much greater. Mm-hmm. But even growing up in opulence, like, you know, when your brain isn't right and you're traumatized and you're fucked up, that's what it is.
Wow. That branched two different places. One, do you think your strong family of origin is the reason you are resilient against this sort of name calling, for one?
My mother was a model and she got targeted. She worked with Moses Neimer, and women hated her because she was a model and she was beautiful and she was charismatic. Mm-hmm. And it was, God, who is that lady, the fashion television woman? Oh, fuck, what's her name?
Jeannie Becker?
Yes, it was Jeannie Becker, who was so sweet to her and became her friend and sort of took her under her wing. You know, my mother, trilingual, 6 feet tall, model, beautiful. She covered the Yom Kippur War. And these women just constantly, out of petty jealousy, tried to tear her down every day. And it was Jeannie that was a sister and was like, you're with me, babe. You're with me, bitch.
Well, because, I mean, and Jeannie got targeted too, right?
Yes, she did. Yeah. She's wonderful. She is a fucking boss bitch.
Yeah.
So my mother raised me with this, like, you know, hear me roar feminism with, like, you know, Joan Rivers and Paglia. And I see it more like hear me whimper now. I see youth that are either, you know, embracing it and becoming very misandrous and strong and like, mm-hmm, I'm a proud slut. But I also see women that completely fly off the handle and crumble if they hear any words that offend them. And, you know, the fact that I was targeted by feminists and got my channel taken down by militant feminists, including male feminists, is pretty telling, because all I was doing was criticizing some elements of modern feminism and misandry, and they report flooded me because I offended them. And to me, you know, nothing says feminism like silencing a woman for her opinions.
Rose, where do you come down on this idea sort of resiliency and the power of the mob?
Say some more about that.
Yeah, I know it's a big question, right? Like this idea that we all only have so much energy. We all only have so much strength. And even the strongest person, male, female, or other in the world, has their breaking point.
Absolutely.
And sometimes these words that don't bother you at all when you're in a good place, all of a sudden really get to you when you're down.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, your state of mind is everything, right? How you embrace something in any moment is going to depict how you experience it.
Now, I made a note of Lex touching on trigger culture, and I want to go there based on this, because, Rose, you've worked with some profoundly traumatized youth. Yeah. And so I'm sure you've seen, I mean, you use the term the trauma and the drama. Mm-hmm. And how does that connect, this idea of legitimate trauma triggers, but also this idea of trigger culture that people just kind of revel in outrage? How does this tie in to gendered, like insults oriented based on immutable characteristics, like targeting your gender, targeting your race? What's the intersection there that you've observed?
So trigger culture to me is based on bullying, right?
Okay.
And based on sticking that person and almost poking at them to figure out where you can get them to pop, mm-hmm, right? Especially with the cyberbullying, with the young generation who are so big on external validation. Everything is about what everybody else has to say. So, you know, at some point, everybody does just, they have a breaking point, right?
Right.
And I think that, as crazy as it sounds, I think everybody is just a reflection of the Joker walking around.
The Joker, the movie, the
I have not seen it yet, but it looks amazing.
It's intense. I mean, there is an example of a guy, a man who was treated like the world's bitch.
Yeah.
And the way he dealt with it was to become this clown prince of crime.
Yeah. And
that, I mean, that was very polarizing. That put the sides of the culture war at odds with each other, because of the people looking at the way the world should be versus the people looking at the way the world is and coming at it from very different places.
It didn't matter who I spoke to. It didn't matter how old they were.
Right.
Everybody said the exact same thing. I thought I was looking at myself.
Really?
Yeah. I'm talking from a Caucasian 65-year-old woman that I had a conversation with.
Right.
To a group of youth.
And there's a shining example of a guy who was treated like the world's bitch and just couldn't take it anymore.
I'm surprised I'm not a supervillain. I had to work through all of my triggers. I think trigger culture is extremely damaging. There are people that are demanding triggers for skin and skulls and tattoo groups.
Right.
Mushrooms. Somebody demanded a trigger for a picture of a bone in a dog group. And, you know, expecting the entire world to behave this way. You know, my mom committed suicide. So I want the word mom banned because it makes me feel weird. I want the word ma, mother, because me, like, that's how ridiculous it sounds. So what I did was I flooded myself because you want to talk profoundly traumatized. Like, I've been in captivity. I've been tortured. I was an underage sex worker. I was a heroin addict. You know, I've seen my own intestines. I've had the shit beaten out of me. I've been gang raped. Like, I've been through some shit. I'm covered in internal and external scars. Mm-hmm. And I work through that shit. And I own that. I control that. Nothing fucking gets to me. And that, to me, is power. You can say anything you want to me. I don't get offended. I don't get triggered. I am above that. I overcame it. So now I own it. And that is being a fucking badass bitch.
And that's the point everybody, unfortunately, that's the point where everybody has to get to, right? In today's society, my personal opinion, people are extremely too sensitive.
Yeah.
And that comes from a place of trauma. So whatever trauma that they haven't dealt with is triggered by the external. When the human experience is for them to take that trauma back and to deal with it themselves so that it's not at the forefront, projecting it on everybody else to deal with.
Damn straight.
Now, I want to drill down more on this because obviously too sensitive is a very subjective thing, right? There are certain sensitivities that we can kind of understand. So where's the line with too sensitive? Because I think that concept ties into the, oh, you're just bitching or bitchiness or you're a bitch or all that stuff. Rose, since you brought it up, where do you draw the line between a legitimate sensitivity and too sensitive?
Okay, so here's how I see it.
Okay.
If I go on your website and there's something on there that triggers me, right?
Right, right.
I have an option not to fucking go on your website. That is not my place to have your website voted down or taken down because what's on there is not comfortable for me. Because what's not comfortable for me might be healing for somebody else.
So
to take something that is not for you and interject your issues into it is not fair. Now, mind you, there is the situations where something may be like, no, inappropriate. There's a difference between inappropriate and just it being something being triggered.
Now, so if I understand, you're saying the line is if someone can very just easily not look, they shouldn't complain.
Well, no, not if. Okay, so if, like, I'm going to use the example that Lex used. Did you use the example, Lex, of a picture of somebody's mother, but if that's triggering for me, then to have it taken down, is that it?
About 10 years ago, I lost 120 pounds, and I'd post like gym pics and, you know, pics of progress and healthy food I was eating, and I was really proud of myself. And I got pregnant, and then I lost 90 pounds again, and same thing, like progress pics, accountability, gym. I just gained 15. I got to do it all over again because of my meds. And I had a woman who weighed about 300 pounds and now weighs probably close to 600 pounds telling me that I had to stop this. I was betraying fat women. I was disgusting for posting all of this. I was, you know, insulting her. I was going against my true self. And I'm like,
that's not Lex's stuff. That's the woman's stuff. She had a choice. She could either be motivated by what she's seeing and doing something,
or scroll on by.
Or scroll on by and go find a site that is more compatible to what she wants to experience online. But to
She unfriended me. She blocked me. She bitched me out. And I was like, I run Weird Toronto, which is a 20,000 strong group. And somebody will post a mannequin. And one of our questions for eligibility is, what do you think of the name Hooker Harvey's? Because I used to be we didn't call ourselves sex workers in the 90s or the millennium. I was a hooker. I like the word hooker. And, you know, I know a lot of sex workers who still call themselves hooker. And now it's like I've got women, mostly women and some men, telling me that I, an ex-hooker, am not allowed to use that word because it's offensive to sex workers. Were you ever a sex worker? No. Shut the fuck up.
Right.
So I'm pretty harsh in my group.
That's interesting.
Somebody posted like a picture of a mannequin and they were saying like it's misogyny. It's like, it's a fucking mannequin.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a real thing.
No. And people just, I will actually search these terms and ban people arbitrarily if I see that they have a history of like not contributing to like, you know, people writing good comedy and making jokes and, you know, making use of the group, but, you know, they're just looking to be offended by everything. People are looking to be offended because that's like a neurological reward. It's a narcissistic neurochemical response. You get a dopamine shot when you're offended. You feel self-righteous. So it becomes addicting.
Yeah, it becomes about them, right? So
yep.
The woman made it about her. She's not looking at how Lex is doing her. Lex is doing her. Leave her alone. The woman made it about her. How dare you?
Yep.
This up, and I can't relate. That's not being sensitive. Get the fuck out of here.
maybe
I actually have a question for Rose.
Go for it.
So a lot of, you know, misogyny and rap culture, I know that, like, you know, you're Black, so do you find that in Black culture it's more prevalent to be called? Because I know that, you know, I hear a lot of bitch in hip hop because I listen to a lot of hip hop. Do you think that misogyny is worse in Black culture, or that it's, you know, spread to the point that it's like all races?
I think it's to the point of all races.
Yeah.
I think the misogyny, some people may really tear my head off for this. There's more misogyny in religion than there is in hip hop.
Oh, fuck yes.
It's just,
if anyone
argues differently.
If anyone argues religion, there's actually a passage that said that women are not allowed to debate with men, and you can put, like, you know, the Bible passage and everything. So if it's a woman, you can shut her up right there. Like, you're going against the Bible by having an opinion.
I went to a wedding. It was an Islamic wedding, and the father of the groom stood up and gave a speech, and in the middle of his speech demonstrated how a man is allowed to beat his wife with his two fingers together and slapping. I was
There's subcultures of every religion that have stuff like that. Yeah,
of course. That's where the twig on the tree came from, right?
That's the origin of comparing a woman to a dog. Like, it is the same root there, and that's why historically the word bitch has been so offensive. So how do we square the undeniable offensiveness of the word historically? At one point, that was considered the worst thing you could call a woman. I'm talking like 1811 or something like that, but still in human history, it's been considered an incredibly offensive word that has still been flung at women liberally. How do we square that history with the empowerment inherent in choosing to not take offense. I don't know who to go to.
I think it's evolution.
Okay.
There was a time when bad meant bad. Now bad means good. Like, it's evolution of words, right? So what meant something years ago doesn't mean the same thing in today's society. And again, it just goes back to who's saying it to you. You know, if your boss looks at you and you tell him, you know what, I'm not working late. And he says, you know what, you're such a bitch. That means something very different than somebody saying, bitch, get up off your ass and do something. It all depends in the content of how the word is being used and who is using it towards you.
I think the root of it all is that throughout history, if a man has sex with a lot of women, he's a stud, he's a debonair, you know, he's a stallion. But women are degraded. We're taught, you know, not to enjoy sex. We're almost programmed that, you know, we're dirty. If we, you know, we you know, our virginity is weirdly coveted. And I think by embracing the fact that women want sex as much as men and embracing that, sexually empowering ourselves, emotionally empowering ourselves, embracing bitch, embracing sex, embracing that, you know, we're humans, we're primates, we're not that different from men. I think that's the key. And that's egalitarianism again. It's like the genders have very specific problems, like, you know, 75% of suicides are men. Mm-hmm. Women have, you know, reproductive issues that are unique to them. Like, you know, I'm very, very pro-choice. Mm-hmm. Those are gender specific problems and they're all really important. And I find this division to be absolutely destructive, division of races and genders. And to me, it's just a way to keep us infighting and chasing our tails, because if we all united and embraced everything, then we might actually have a shot.
I think one, well said. The other, we definitely have to do a show on the word slut as well, because that's a whole different kettle of fish. Now, because words, gendered slurs like bitch, they do service that division, right? That keeping us on opposing sides. Because if you're not allowed to embrace the other side of the gender binary, that keeps you contained, that keeps you controlled. So what's your advice to people who get called this in environments where it is inappropriate, not by your friends, you know, at work where it can harm you because of the particular workplace culture? What do you do? What's your advice? We'll go to Lex and then we'll go to Rose.
If somebody called me a bitch, I'd say, like, you know, thank you, or like, you know, thanks for noticing. Yeah, I am a bitch and I'm going to be a bitch to you right now. Go fuck off over there. Do what you're told. Worship me, pig.
You'd say that in an office?
I don't work in an office.
Okay.
In the past, like, you know, I've been a bouncer. I've worked with animals. I've worked in film. If you call me a bitch, you're going to see a bitch. And I am the biggest bitch you'll ever meet. So I own that shit. If you treat me with respect, then we're cool. And I'm like the coolest coworker you've ever had. But if you want to project bitch on me, you'll get bitch and you won't like it. I like it. I'll enjoy it because I'm a bit of a sadist. But you've just made an enemy. Rose, I'm going to fuck with you.
Rose, what's your advice in getting called a bitch in places that you really can't tell someone to just fuck off?
Oh, like the office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like a family member or in church. Believe it or not, people do get called bitches in church.
It's so weird.
Here's the reality. If it was in the family, somebody called me a bitch, I'd say thank you and glad you know, and maybe you need a reminder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? If somebody in church called me a bitch, I'd be like, yes, and God bless you too.
So you go full Southern on them. You have a blessed day. Okay.
And yeah. And even if I was to respond in a snarky way, it would be to make them know, yeah, you're right. I am a bitch and back the fuck up because you're crossing a line right now and I'm not the one.
So just assert yourself.
I would assert myself. Now, if it happened at work, I'm going to go full bitch with the meltdown and the report and the harassment and let's take this on some legal terms because that is inappropriate. Not so, because I don't embrace the word, but you do not have the right in this atmosphere to use that word. Because if I was to turn to you and call you a fucker, you'd do the same thing. So let's play fair.
So you think there's a place to engage the system and lodge a formal complaint?
Well, the bottom line is that for somebody in a work environment to take that route and call somebody a bitch on work time, even if it's off of work time, but during work hours, that's an assertion of power. So if you want to assert your power with me, how about I find somebody who's got a little bit more power than you? Let's take this to the books.
So in every situation, base your outcome on intent.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. The bitch in me acknowledges the bitch in you, and I love it. I love how we're different flavors of bitch, but at the end of the day, we're just super assertive, confident women. And if you want to call us bitches, cool.
Now,
that's
since,
cool.
Since now, you guys are since you guys has, are both artists. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It has taken me a long time to get there, and I have been bullied. I have been abused. I have gone through so much in my life till I had to have a Joker moment. Fuck it and fuck everybody else.
Yeah.
So you guys sounds like you both associate the word bitch with being a survivor. Is that
absolutely
yeah. Okay.
Big that's, nail that's on the head.
Yeah. So based on that, and because you guys are both artists, I want to close going back to the whole hip hop debate. Mm-hmm. Because artists, male artists from Jay-Z to Kanye have questioned whether the word bitch belongs in hip hop anymore. Meanwhile, there's Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and even Rihanna to an extent embracing the word in their art.
Well, maybe it goes back and it's a similar example like the N word, right? So it's okay. So maybe it's okay for a woman to use it in her songs because she's using it in a form of empowerment.
Right.
Versus a man using it in the form of degrading her, which goes back to the same thing of using the word bitch with a man. Anytime a man is using the word bitch with a man, he's using it to degrade him because of the culture it came from, which was jail culture. So it's a different experience.
So Cardi,
well, black culture took back the N word, right. And gay culture took back the F word.
And
so
the
it makes
word,
sense.
Gay?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Gay
and the Q word.
Yeah, sorry.
The gay word that starts with that. F that I'm not going to say because it's not my place, and it's not my place because I'm not black to say the N word. Right. But black culture has taken back that word, added an A, and you know that is their word. That is total empowerment. Like they took that word back strong, and I think that we need to take these, you know, their misogynistic slurs. I love the way that men, when they're, you know, you're a cunt, you're a pussy, and you know that.
But on the
it perplexes
hand,
me.
Now, Lex, on the other hand, you'll also hear men now say, yo, that's my bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's
their
one.
Girl.
Yeah,
and
that's an
their
one.
Girl. And that's coming from the heart, yo. Like, that's my bitch. You know what I mean? So, again, I think it's all about intent. What is your intent
it's totally
behind
about
the word?
That. But should a woman in that case have the right to go, don't call me that?
Oh, absolutely.
So, again, you're saying that Cardi can say it, but Kanye can't.
Well, and that's
or you could
debate.
Listen to good rap. You could listen to intelligent rap like, you know, Killer Mike or Immortal Technique or Run the Jewels.
See, I think...
Or Kanye's new album?
See, I think
no,
Tupac
fuck that shit.
Tupac was really intelligent rap. Jay-Z is
capable
of really intelligent rap. They both dropped Bitch in very, very intelligent tracks. Mm-hmm. And I think people are losing sight of what they were saying there because they're just triggered by the word. And that has me really uncomfortable because I think art needs the freedom to explore uncomfortable, even offensive concepts.
Completely. You know? I had a bunch of SJWs threaten to throw piss on me because of my song Censor Us, which is about, you know, brigading and the way that you're not, you know, it's a minefield. That you'll get dogpiled, you'll get fucking doxxed. And I had social justice warriors threatening to come to one of my shows, my band is Adaptive Reaction, and throw piss on me because of the song Censor Us. And that to me, like, is that oppression? Threatening to throw, you know, to assault me because I have a song that they don't like?
Here's the thing. Like, people are going to find, if somebody wants to find something wrong, they're going to find it. You know, I'm going to draw a quick reference to when Lil Wayne came up with Lick Me Like a Lollipop.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody went crazy and, you know, the misogyny. And I was like, but wait, it's the first song that's out here where he's saying giving and getting head, giving right. and getting right. head. It's actually the opposite. Nobody else talked about giving. They all talked about getting. Here he comes out with giving and getting, and it's a bad song. No, it's empowering in some ways. He's saying it works both ways.
I think people.
I want y'all with offensive to go back after this show and look up Yeasty Girls, You Suck, because
yep.
that was my fucking song in the 90s, and that's the feminism I grew up with. The Hear Me Roar, I grew up with, like, Bikini Kill, a little bit of a Riot Girl, but I love men. Men are my brothers. They're my friends. They're my protectors. I protect them. And to me, that's what it's about, is unity of all. And to be divided over words and identity politics and offense culture, there are people that literally stay at home all day looking for things to be offended about.
Yep.
That's what's wrong with the world. You are giving these words power. So, you know, embrace it. I love being a bitch. I love the fact that you guys are bitches. I feel very close to you right now. Y'all are my bitches.
And I feel the same way, man.
I look forward to exploring the word slut and cunt. And see, I love these words. I love saying them. They just roll off the tongue. And once you embrace them, they're glorious. They're fun. Mm-hmm. They're joyful.
I think there's a lot to be said about Dave Chappelle's last stand-up comedy show that he did on Netflix.
Oh, Lord.
Comedians are no longer allowed to be comedians. Like, you know, nobody's allowed to do anything that might possibly offend somebody else. So
comedians are the scouts of society.
Yeah. Exactly.
Comedy should be completely free. I miss Blazing Saddles. I miss that shit.
That was so tame.
I know, and I miss that shit because, you know, that's where we open dialogues about, you know, racism and homophobia. Okay. And, you know, that's where we all meet, and comedians are the ones who can go there. And now
they're
not allowed to do anything because of, you know, offense. And offense has no place in comedy.
Exactly.
Comedy should be free.
For me personally, I think there's something to be said about how our society is too sensitive, and how the narcissists and the wounded children that exist within other people are killing the platforms for those who want to express themselves.
Any final words on the B word?
Love it.
Embrace it, but if it is being used against you, decide on how you're going to either stand in it or at least stand up for yourself within it.
So in other words, be a bitch.
Yeah, be a bitch.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, thank you very much. Lex, Rose, this has been Hey Ladies. If you like this program, you want to hear more talk of four-letter words by amazing women, support us on Patreon and make sure to like us and review us on iTunes and anywhere else you get your podcast. Thanks very much for listening.
This is Fun, the FU Network.